Research presented June 16th at the Conference on Computer Vision and Pattern Recognition, or CVPR, described a system that is able to distinguish objects, including cars, bicyclists, and pedestrians, and gauge their direction and oncoming speed, even around corners. This approach allows for collision warning for pedestrians and cyclists in real-world autonomous driving scenarios, before seeing them with existing direct line-of-sight sensors. In earlier research, the Princeton-based team used light to see objects hidden around corners, but those efforts are currently not practical for use in cars, both because they require high-powered lasers and because they are restricted to short ranges. While conducting that earlier research, the team wondered whether it would be possible to create a system to detect hazards out of the car's line of sight using imaging radar instead of visible light. The signal loss at smooth surfaces is much lower for radar systems, and radar is a proven technology for tracking objects. The challenge is that radar's spatial resolution, used for picturing objects around corners such as cars and bikes, is relatively low. But fortunately, the researchers created algorithms to interpret the radar data, allowing the sensors to function. The algorithms that they developed are highly efficient and fit on current generation automotive hardware systems. So, we might see this technology in the next generation of vehicles. To allow the system to distinguish objects, the team processed a part of the radar signal that standard radars consider background noise rather than usable information. The team applied artificial intelligence techniques to refine the processing and read the images. To do this, the computer running the system had to learn to recognize cyclists and pedestrians from a very sparse amount of data. First, it must detect if something is there. If something is there, it asks, is it important? That is it a cyclist or a pedestrian? Then, it must locate it. The system currently prioritizes detecting pedestrians and cyclists because the engineers feel those are the most challenging objects, because of their small size, unconventional shapes, and varied motion. Once that is refined, the system will be adjusted to detect vehicles as well. The researchers plan to follow the research in a number of directions for applications involving both radar and refinements in signal processing. This system has the potential to radically improve automotive safety. Before becoming commercialized, it will have to go through very rigorous automotive development cycles. In terms of integration and bringing it to market, it still requires a lot of engineering. But the technology is there, so there is the potential for seeing this in vehicles very soon. With the economy still hobbled by COVID-19 and the cost and timing of routine universal testing or a reliable vaccine both still uncertain, it's urgent that we find safe, cost-effective ways to eliminate airborne viruses from commercial and residential spaces. So it's exciting to read new research just published in Nature Scientific Reports showing that more than 99.9% of coronaviruses present in airborne droplets were killed when exposed to a particular wavelength of ultraviolet light that is also safe to use around humans. Based on this new study at Columbia University, continuous airborne disinfection with far UVC light at the current regulatory limit could greatly reduce the level of airborne virus in indoor environments occupied by people. Conventional germicidal UVC light with a 254 nanometer wavelength can be used to disinfect unoccupied spaces such as empty hospital rooms or empty subway cars. However, direct exposure to these conventional UV lamps is not possible in occupied public spaces, as this could be a health hazard. To continuously and safely disinfect occupied indoor areas, researchers at Columbia University's Irving Medical Center have been investigating far UVC light with a 222 nanometer wavelength, which cannot penetrate the tear layer of the eye or the outer dead cell layer of the skin. Therefore, it cannot reach or damage living cells in the body. The researchers had previously shown that far UVC light can safely kill airborne influenza viruses. The new research extends this research to all coronaviruses, including the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. In the study, the researchers used a misting device to aerosolize two common coronaviruses. The aerosols containing coronavirus were then flowed through the air in front of a far UVC lamp. After exposure to far UVC light, the researchers tested to see how many of the viruses were still alive. The researchers found that more than 99.9% of the exposed virus had been killed by a very low exposure to far UVC light. Based on their results, the researchers estimate that continuous exposure to far UVC light at the current regulatory limit would kill 90% of airborne viruses in about 8 minutes, 95% in about 11 minutes, 99% in about 16 minutes, and 99.9% in about 25 minutes. Notably, since SARS-CoV-2 is largely spread via droplets and aerosols that are coughed and sneezed into the air, it's important to have a tool that can safely inactivate the virus while it's in the air, particularly while people are around. Because it's safe to use in occupied spaces like hospitals, buses, planes, trains, train stations, schools, restaurants, offices, theaters, gyms, and anywhere that people gather indoors, far UVC light could be used in combination with other measures, like wearing face masks and washing hands, to limit the transmission of SARS-CoV-2 and other viruses. In 2019, MIT engineers developed a double-sided adhesive that can quickly and firmly stick to wet surfaces, such as biological tissues. They showed that the tape could be used to seal up rips and tears in lungs and intestines within seconds, or to affix implants and other medical devices to the surfaces of organs, such as the heart. In considering designs for their original adhesive, the researchers quickly realized that it is extremely difficult for tape to stick to wet surfaces, as the thin layer of water lubricates and prevents most adhesives from taking hold. To get around a tissue's natural slipperiness, the team designed their original adhesive out of biocompatible polymers, including polyacrylic acid, a highly absorbent material commonly used in diapers and pharmaceuticals, that soaks up water, then quickly forms weak hydrogen bonds with the tissue surface. To reinforce these bonds, the researchers embedded the material with NHS esters, chemical groups that form stronger, longer-lasting bonds with proteins on a tissue surface. While these chemical bonds gave the tape its ultra-strong grip, they were also difficult to break, and the team found that detaching the tape from tissue was a messy, potentially harmful task. Removing the tape could potentially create more of an inflammatory response in tissue and prolong healing. It's a very practical problem. Now they have further refined the adhesive so that it can be detached from the underlying tissue without causing any damage, in case it needs to be adjusted during surgery or removed once the tissue has healed. The new version can be peeled away like a slippery gel after applying a liquid solution. It's like a painless Band-Aid for internal organs. You put the adhesive on, and if for any reason you want to take it off, you can do so on demand without pain. The team's new design is detailed in a paper just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. To make the adhesive detachable, the team first tweaked the adhesive itself. To the original material, they added a new disulfide linker molecule, which can be placed between covalent bonds with the tissue's surface proteins. The team chose to synthesize this particular molecule because its bonds, while strong, can be easily severed if exposed to a particular reducing agent. In all their tests, regardless of how long the adhesive had been applied to the tissue, the researchers found that once they sprayed the triggering solution on the tape, they were able to peel the tape away from the tissue within about 5 minutes without causing tissue damage. That's about the time it takes for the solution to diffuse through the tape to the surface where the tape meets the tissue. At that point, the solution converts this extremely sticky adhesive to just a layer of slippery gel that you can easily peel off. The team hopes that someday operating rooms can have dispensers of these adhesives alongside bottles of triggering solution. Then, surgeons can use this like scotch tape, applying, detaching, and reapplying it on demand. In a series of experiments using human cancer cell lines, scientists at Johns Hopkins Medical School have successfully used light as a trigger in rapidly making precise cuts in genomic material, including CRISPR as a molecular scalpel, then watching specialized cell proteins repair the exact spot where the gene was cut. Results of the experiments, published June 11th in Science, not only revealed new details about the DNA repair process, but also are likely to speed up and aid understanding of the DNA activity that typically causes aging and many cancers. adapted from a naturally occurring gene editing system found in bacteria, CRISPR uses small sequences of RNA as a kind of guide that is coded to match and bind to a specific sequence of genomic DNA within a cell. The CRISPR molecule also contains an enzyme called Cas9, which acts as the scalpel to cut out the DNA sequence. Then the cell uses its own enzymes and proteins to repair the sliced DNA, often adding DNA sequences that scientists slip into the cell. For the new experiments, the scientists modified the CRISPR-Cas9 complex by engineering a light-sensitive RNA molecule that allows the CRISPR complex to cut genomic DNA in living cells only when exposed to a particular wavelength of light. The advantage of this technique is that researchers can get the CRISPR machinery to find its target without prematurely cutting the gene, holding back its action until exposed to light. This allows researchers to have far more control over exactly where and when the DNA is cut. For the current study, the team delivered an electric pulse to cultures of human embryonic kidney cells and bone cancer cells, which opened pores in the cell membrane and allowed the CRISPR complex with the light-activated RNA molecule to slide into the cells. Then, the scientists waited 12 hours for the CRISPR complex to bind to a targeted spot on the genomic DNA. When they shined a light on the cells, they tracked the amount of time it took for the CRISPR complex to make the cut. Within 30 seconds of shining the light on the cells, the CRISPR complex had cut more than 50% of its targets. They determined that repair proteins started their work within 2 minutes of the CRISPR activation, and the repair was completed as early as 15 minutes. The team has filed a provisional patent on the CRISPR technology described in this research.
This concludes this edition of Business Briefings. Please join us again next month for more exciting news and insights from the latest business magazines, technology journals, blogs, newsletters, and websites.